Today's shiur is Masechta Bava Kama Daf Pei. We will begin at the top of the Yomid with the last word on the second line, Shalu. The Gemara here refers back to the Mishnah that we learned in yesterday's Daf, where the Mishnah on Daf Ayin Tesamid Bei stated that Ein Megadlin Behemadaka Be'eretz Yisrael, that one does not raise up a small domesticated animal in Eretz Yisrael. And Rashi gave the reason there in the Mishnah, Mishum Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, Shemavir Esasades, because these animals are prone to eat up the produce in the fields, and they will cause a loss of the Yishuv of Eretz Yisrael. And on this, we begin our Gemara. Shalu Talmidah of Es Rabbi Gamliel. Rabbi Gamliel's Talmidim asked him the following question. Mahu Legadel, is one permitted to raise Behema Daka is in Eretz Yisrael. Amar Lahen Mutter. Contrary to our Mishnah, he replied that it is permissible. So the Gemara immediately asks, what's none? We learned in our Mishnah, Ein Megadlin, that you're not allowed to be Megadol Behema Daka is in Eretz Yisrael. And as the Marsha explains, if Ram Gamliel would in fact argue on our Mishnah, Rebbe would not have left that out of the Mishnah. He would have included the fact that Ram Gamliel argues he would not have left the Mishnah as a Stam Mishnah that Ein Megadlin in Eretz Yisrael. So it must be that Ram Gamliel also is of this opinion. Ella says, the Gemara Hachi Koboi Mine, this is what the Talmidim of Ram Gamliel asked him. Mahu Lishois, can one detain, you're not allowed to raise it, that's for sure, but if someone has a personal reason, for example, we're going to see a Gemara soon, someone has a medical condition where it's not a Cholish Yesh Bo Sakana. If it's a Cholish Yesh Bo Sakana, then of course he could be Megadol. But let's say it's a medical reason that's not a Sakana that the person would die. Could you detain a Behema Daka? Now, we learned in yesterday's shir that the Chacham say that the only time you can keep a Behema Daka in Eretz Yisrael is for the purpose of a chasna of one's son or for yontiv, and then you can only have it 30 days before the event. So here they were asking him, would there be any permission to detain an animal longer than 30 days? On this new question, the revised question that they posed to Rabbi Gamliel, on this, what did Rabbi Gamliel answer? Amar Lahen, he answered them, Mutter, this is permitted, but with one provisional, Bavad, Shleitetze, Vetira Be'eder. The animal is not allowed to go out and graze with the herds. Ella Koishra B'Kroi Amito. He has to tie them up. He has to tie up these behemadakos onto the legs of his bed. And on this, Rashi says, V'Rabbanan Pligi Oled Ram Gamliel. And in fact, the Rabbanan are going to argue Ram Gamliel, because the Rabbanan said that the only permission is within 30 days of a chasna of one's child or for yontif. Otherwise, not only are you prohibited to be Megadol a Behema Daka, but you cannot detain it as well. And Ram Gamliel is arguing on this, and Ram Gamliel says that if you have some personal reason, you could be mashe it more than 30 days, but you have to have it tied up. The Chacham say it doesn't matter, even if it's tied up, and we're not worried that it's going to go out and graze in other people's lands and destroy Eretz Yisrael, doesn't matter. It's only permitted up to 30 days. So this is going to be this is the way the Rajba learns Pshat and Rashi. There are other Rishonim learn differently, but the Rajba learns that this, in fact, is a machlokes between Ram Gamliel and the Chachamim. And based on that, the Rajba takes away the next words that we have in the Gemara, which is Tana Rabbanan, Maisa B'chasad Echad. According to our version of the Gemara, this story has really nothing to do with what Ram Gamliel, the question that Talmidim asked Ram Gamliel, which preceded it. But according to the Rajba, it does have to do, because instead of Tana Rabbanan, the Rajba's girsa is Ul Maisa B'chasad Echad, and there is a story concerning a certain chasid, and in that story we'll see, in fact, that the chasid acted like Rabbi Gamliel against the Chachamim, and this, in fact, this pious chasid, we'll soon see who this chasid was, This was the only aveira he ever did in his entire life that he paskened like Rav Gamliel against the Rabbanan. So according to the Rashba, that's why it fits in that you should be garz umaisa b'chassid echad, because the story with this chassid is directly related to what preceded it concerning Rav Gamliel, that the chassid paskened like Rav Gamliel, and according to his chaverim, as we'll soon see, he made a mistake. The halach is not Rav Gamliel. The halach is like the chachamim, that the only heter for someone to detain an animal is within 30 days of a chasna or of yontif. So let's see the Gemara according to the Girsa of the Rashba. There's a story concerning a certain chassid. The Gemara in Tzmura Daf Tezvav Amabes tells us that whenever we use the terminology chassid echad, it refers either to Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava or to Rabbi Yehuda bar Eloi. And in fact, the Tosefta here in Perikhes in Bava Kama tells us that the chassid in our story here is none other than Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava. So there was a story concerning Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava. Shahaya goinech maliba. He was groaning from his heart. In other words, he had a pain from his heart. Vishalu l'roifrim. And they asked, his family asked to the doctors, what can we do for Rav Yehuda ben Bava? Because he's having so much pain that he's groaning. Va'amru. And the doctors responded, "Ein loy takana." The only thing that we could do for him is achi yenek cholav reseach, until he will suck fresh hot milk mishachris l'shachris every morning. If he does that, then his condition will be alleviated. So what happened? Ve'viloy eis. They brought him a goat. Ve'kashru loy b'karei amito, and they tied it up to the legs of his bed, which was the shita, as the Rashba explained, of Rav Gamliel, that one is permitted. Again, the Marsha says it's not a chola she'esh boy sakana, or else there would be no shaila. It's a chola she'ein boy sakana. But for that medical reason, he was allowed to tie up the goat even more than 30 days so that he could drink every morning this fresh, hot milk from the goat. V'hoya yoynik mimenu mishachos l'shachos, and every morning he would suck from the goat this fresh, hot milk. Liyamim, after some time, nichnasu chaver levakra, his friends came in to be mevakra chola, to visit the sick. Kivin shero oiso eis kishur bekari amito, once they saw that goat that was tied up to the legs of his bed, chazru lachrem, they backed out, va'amru, and they said, listim mezuyin, bevesu shalzeh, there are armed robbers in this person's house, as Rashi explains. Roya besodes acherim v'goizla sarabim. This goat is an animal that we are afraid will go and pasture in other people's fields, and he'll steal from the many people in that community. V'onu nichnasim etzloi. We are going to go into Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava's house, and we're going to be mevakar cholim. He's a chote. He's doing something wrong. Actually, according to the Rashba, what was he doing? He was paskening like Rav Gamliel. However, the Chaverim held that Rav Gamliel was wrong, that Allah is like the Chachamim, that there's no heter unless it's for a yontiv or for a chasana. Yoshu Botku, then they sat down and they checked. This chassid had done, in fact, only this aveira's entire life, that he permitted the ace to be tied up to the legs of his bed. Va'afhu, and he also, Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, b'shas misasi, when he was dying, and he was leaving this world, and as the Marsha says, that is a time when a person has to reflect on his entire life and realize what he has done wrong and do tshuva and do vidui before he passes away from this world. Omar said, Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, yedei ani, I know about myself, she'ein bi oven ela oven oiso ho'eis, she'avarti al divi chaver. The only aver that I ever did my entire life is that I didn't listen to my chaverim, because my chaverim paskin, the ones who had been mevakar cholehim, said that he was doing something wrong, that he was going, according to the Rashba's explanation of Rashi, he was going like Rav Gamliel, that it's permitted if a person has a medical condition, even if it's not a chol she'esh bo sakana, and the halach is like the chachamim, that only for chasna, only for yontav, otherwise one cannot detain a behema daka, even for a personal medical reason. That was the only aver that he ever did his entire life. Amar Rabbi Shmuel, said Rabbi Shmuel, My father's house was from the Balabatim in the upper Galilee. Why was that area destroyed? Because they did certain things wrong. Number one, they used to pasture the animals in forests. We'll soon see what is wrong with that, because Rashi points out that in the next daf pei aleph, Yeshua was mesakin. One of the things he made when they entered Eretz Yisrael, shalayakbid bal hayar al kach, that somebody who owns a forest should not object if someone else comes into a forest and lets his animals graze there. But we'll soon see what they were doing wrong. Shayamar and Bechorshin, one. And secondly, Vidun and Dine Mominus Beyachet. And they were using one dayan to Paskin Dine Mominus. Now, the Meiri points out, we have the Gemara in Sanhedrin. The Gemara says that a Yachet who's a Mumcha could replace a Bezdin of Shloisha. So what were they doing wrong? Why was this a reason to have that area of Eretz Yisrael destroyed? So Miri answers, that's only permitted if the person builds up a reputation that he's a mumcha, that he knows the halachas. But apparently they were permitting a yochid to paskin these chayshemish b'chayles, even when they had not yet built up a reputation that he knows the halachas, and that's why what they were doing was wrong. Now the Gemara explains what was wrong with grazing in a forest. Yeshua was mesakin that the owner of the forest should not be makbid on this. So what, in fact, did they do wrong? Even though they had these forests right next to their houses, sadaktana hoisa, there was in between their house and the forest, there was other people's pastures. And therefore, probably when the sheep and the goats were going from their house to the forest, even though their main pasturing would be in the forest, but on the way they would nibble from the ground on the way. And there they were taking away from the property of someone else. That was their Avera. And as we saw in the Mishnah, you're not allowed to do that because of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. It's not just that they're mazik someone else, but in fact they're causing the whole Eretz Yisrael they're causing a detriment to the entire civilization living in Eretz Yisrael. So they had this house next to a field and then the forest. Umavir and Derechalau, they were leading the sheep to go through the Sada, and on the way they would eat from other people's property. Tana Rabbanan. What happens if a person who was over this Avera of Megadlin, Behemoth, Dak, and Eretz Yisrael, he wants to do tshuva? Tana Rabbanan. Roye she'asa tshuva. A shepherd who wants to do tshuva. Ein mechayven oisay limchor miyad. Now let's say he has 100,000 animals. He decides to do tshuva. We do not obligate him to sell his entire flock in one time. That would be a hefsed merubah, and we're afraid if people know he has to sell, so he won't be able to get his top dollar. He'll lose a lot of money, and we want to help him to do tshuva. So therefore, ella moicher al yad, little by little, slowly, a few sheep a week, and he won't feel the loss, and people will pay him a better price if he's not going to sell everything at one time. V'chein, a similar halacha, ger shenaflu loy klovim v'chazerim birushasai, a ger had a yerusha. Now, how does he have a yerusha? Ger shenizgar kekodin shenayladami. He's like a newborn child. He's not considered biologically connected to the Gentile parents that he had. So really, he shouldn't be able to yorish them, to inherit them. However, the chachamim were afraid that if he had a parent who died and the son now, who became a Jew, would not able to get Yerusha, he would say, "The heck with it! This religion I don't need. If I can't get Yerusha, so they Chacham were afraid of it, and therefore they permitted him to yarshin from his Gentile parents. What did he yarshin from them? He yarshin dogs or chazerim or swine. So we learned in our Mishnah that you're not megadol dogs or chazerim in Eretz Yisrael. Chazerim, the reason you're not, we're going to find out in the Gemara further on Daf Pei Beis Amid Beis, where the Gemara says that Yerushalayim was surrounded with the enemy, and a famous story where they brought up one day after the money was sent down, the troops sent back up a chazir, and the whole Eretz Yisrael was nazea by 400 amis. We'll learn that Gemara in Mitzrayim and Daf Pei Beis Amid Beis. So because of that, they made a takana, the aim of Gadol Chazerim, because they were lifting up a swine, a pig, to be used as a korban instead of the regular sheep. They made that takana. Why can't we have klovim? So Rashi said in the Mishnah, because a kelev is noishik, it bites, and it barks, and a woman, a pregnant woman, from the fear of the dog, could miscarry, and therefore one should not raise dogs in Eretz Yisrael. Now this ger has acquired the klov of chazerim in the Yerusha. The din is, ein mechayv en oser limchor miyad, he doesn't have to sell them all right away, because we're afraid, again, if he inherited a lot of dogs and a lot of swine, and he's going to have to sell it right away, he's going to have a hefsed merubah. Again, this might convince him to leave Yahadus, and we don't want to do that. Ela moichra al yad al yad, he slowly sells it. The girsa of the Rif and the Rambam in our Gemara is not gir. It's kol adam, any person. This is not only halacha by ger, but any person who received a Yerusha of Klov Mechazerim, we don't want him to suffer a hefsed merubah, a great loss, and therefore he should sell them, but he doesn't have to sell them all at once. He sells them slowly. V'chein, similar, another halacha. Misha nader likach bayis, a person who made a neder to buy a house. V'likach isha b'Eretz Yisrael, he's moving to Eretz Yisrael, and he says, when I move to Eretz Yisrael, number one, I'll buy a house. Number two, I'll marry a woman. Eim achayv and I say likach miyad. He doesn't have to buy the first house that he sees on sale, or the first woman that comes along. Ad sheyim tzas aganislai. He should check very well what is fitting for him, and then he should buy it. We don't have to say, since he made a neder, that he's going, when he moves to Eretz Yisrael, he's going to get married. Oh, so that means the first woman you see, you made a neder, be mekayim your neder right away. You have time to search and make sure it's the proper woman. Umais, it is a story to this effect. Be'ishachas, there was a woman. Now this woman had a son. So this woman, she was either a grusha or an amana. She was divorced or a widow. Shahaya bina meitzala. Her son was bothering her. Ma, when are you going to get married? The kafza, and she decided to jump in to do quickly. Vinishba, and she swore, call me she yavoi. Whoever comes, eini machzirasei. Anybody who makes, the first man who makes me an offer, I'm going to get married to him. Vekafzu aleh b'nei adam she'enem ugarim. And in fact, the people who were not worthy jumped at the opportunity to marry her. And now came a shaila, does she have to keep her neder that she said she's going to marry the first person who gives her an offer? Kshabah, davreitz chachamim, when the shaila came to the chacham, Amru, they said, lo niskav nezu el lahogun law. She only meant, she didn't mean anybody from the Bowery is going to come and make an offer. She meant the first fitting husband that comes along, possible husband, to him I will get married. Continues the Gemara, Kishem she'amru eim agadlim behemadaka, just like we learned in our Mishnah that you don't raise a behemadaka in Eretz Yisrael, kach amru. So they said, eim megadlin chayadaka, not a domestic animal, but a regular wild beast, not domesticated. Rashi says, for example, tzviim, deer, or shualin, foxes, you're also not megadol. Rabbi Shmuel Oimer, megadlim klovim kaifrim. You're allowed to raise dogs that are kaifrim. Rashi has two pshat. The first pshat is miniature dogs, or the second pshat of Rashi is very large dogs that are used for hunting. The common denominator is that both of them are not mazik other fields, which is the main problem one of the problems is that they're mazik. We learned another problem that they bark. So, miniature dogs, I guess, don't make women afraid. I don't know about the large hunting dogs. That's a tzorachi, and why wouldn't it be a problem because of barking? But Rabbi Shmuel says you could be megadol klovim kaifrim, v'chasulim and cats, v'kaifrim and monkeys, v'choldoi snoim and bush weasels that they eat and are raised in the bushes. Why can you raise them? Mipnei she'asuyim l'nakeres abayis, because they... you can use them to assist in cleaning up the house from mice and worms. The Meiri says it's only a cat and a weasel that does this, but as we said before, the reason you could raise the klovim and the monkeys is because they're not animals that are going to damage other people's property. My chuldei snoim, what exactly do we mean by these weasels of the bush? Amar Rav Yehuda, shartza chartza. This is an animal which creeps along. We'll soon see which animal this is particularly. And it also digs in the ground. Ve'ekad amri, charza. And the Mesoris HaShaz has a tzaddik, chartza, which is a porcupine, some say. Diktini shakya, its legs are very thin. Varaya, and it eats bene vardini. It eats, as Rashi says, vardini means the sneh. In the bushes it eats. My shart, so how does it resemble something that creeps? Dimitasoi shakya, its legs are right under it. In other words, the legs are very small and thin. You barely see them. So when you see the animal moving along, you hardly notice that it has legs, and it looks like it's creeping along. Omer of Yudah Merav, Asinu Atzmenu B'Bavel, we made for ourselves in Bavel, Ke'eretz Yisrael, like Eretz Yisrael, L'Behemadaka, concerning Behemadaka. In other words, when they Rashi tells us Tub shot them, either that... Rashi says that from the day that Yechonia went, Golus Yechonia, which was 11 years before the Golus of Tzidkiyo by Churban Bais Rishon, so Rashi says, Ravu Shama Tamidim, there were many Tamidim, there was a big Yishuv in Bavel, and V'nisyashu Sham B'Yishuv Kavua, they had a permanent settlement there. And therefore, they treated Bavel, because of the large population, which were made up of Talmidei Chachamim, the Hashem put into Golus Yechonia, HaChorosh V'Amazgir, which are the Talmidei Chachamim, so they enacted that Bavel should have the same halacha like Eretz Yisrael, that we should not raise Behema Daka. Amar Lei Rav Adar Bar Avil Rav Huna, the Doch Mai. What about yours? You're in Bavel, and you do raise Behema Daka. Amar Lei, so he answered, the Don, mine, Kamintrulu Chayva. Chayva, my wife Chayva, she watches it. Amar Lei, so Rav Adar Bar Avil responded, Chayva Tikberinu Libna. Her children should get buried. There are two pshatim over here. Rashi learns that it's a statement. If you're soimach on your wife, Chayva, who is not able to properly watch that the animal does damage, so I'm giving a curse that your children should be buried. Tosfos learns it like an exclamation. The third bottom Tosfos, Divrei Maskil Chayva, he brings it from Rabbeinu Chananel, Bitmiya, V'chidarko Likbor Baneah. In other words, Amar Lei, Chayva, Tikbereno Libna. Is she busy burying her children? Why? Because she's not busy raising her children, but rather she's busy raising sheep. And when he said that statement, the Rabbeinu Chananel learns, Havi Kishkoga Yoitzas Lufnei HaShalot. It was like a mistake that a emperor made. If a king says, should you die? If he lets out, even by accident, such a statement, that's like a death sentence. So by a Talmud Chacham, like Rab Arado Bar Ava making that statement, Chayva is busy burying her children, that was like a mistake made by an Adam Gadol, and it has an effect, the words that he uttered, and the Gemara relates, that Kula Shanya de Rav Adar Bar Ava, as long as Rav Adar Bar Ava was alive, Lo Yakayim Zaru L'Rav Huna, Mechayva. Rav Huna did not have any living children from his wife Chayva because of that statement. Ikedi Amri, some say Amar Rav Huna, that Rav Huna said, and the Bach takes out the next two words, Amar Rav. Amar Rav Huna, Asinu Atzmenu B'Bavel, Ke Eretz Yisrael B'Hemadaka. We made a halach in Bavel like Eretz Yisrael concerning that you should not raise B'Hemadaka. Michi Asa Rav L'Bavel. When did we do this? From the time that Rav came to Bavel. So on this, Rashi says two pshatim. The first pshat that Rashi says is that since Rav made a yeshiva in Surah, and it became a major center of learning, and there was a large Jewish population there, so they enacted the same halacha of Eretz Yisrael into that center of Torah learning. Lishnachrin, Rashi brings down, when Rav came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, so, and he, on his arrival, he already saw that there was in place a city which had mostly Jews, and it was a permanent Yishuv Kavua there, a permanent settlement. So Rav told them, just like we have this enactment in Eretz Yisrael, you should have this enactment here as well. And they started acting like that, that they would not raise Behema Daka in that area of Bavel. Now the Gemara says a very interesting story of three great Talmidei Chacham. Rav, Ushmuel, Veravasi. Iklu, Lebei, Shvua, Bet. So they came to a Suda. The question over here is, what was the Suda? So the first pshat in the Gemara is, it was a Shvua Ben. What is Shvua Ben? Rashi says, this is the Suda of a Bris Mila. Why is it called Shvua Ben? Because Shvua is seven, and a Bris takes place on the eighth day following a week, the first week when the child is born. Va'amri law. And some say it was not to a Shvua HaBen, but Lebe Yeshua HaBen, to a Yeshua HaBen. What is a Yeshua HaBen? So here we have a Machloikas, Rashi and Tosfos. Rashi says Yeshua HaBen is Mishta Sha'oisin LePidgin HaBen Bechor, by a, what we call a Pidgin HaBen. Where does Rashi get that Yeshua ben equals a pidgin a ben? So Rashi says Yeshua metargamin, and actually the Rebbe Kiva Eger in the Gilyon HaShem says not Yeshua, but Vayosha, the pasuk in Shmois by the Shira, Parshat Bishalach, Vayosha Hashem by Yoimahu Es Yisrael Miyad Mitzrayim, says the Targum Uforak. And then Rashi says, Kemoi, Vayosha, Metargamin and Purkan, Kamai pigeon, like the word pigeon. What's the Aramaic translation of the word pigeon? Parak. So Rashi is going with A equals B and C equals B. So if A equals B and C equals B, then A equals C. Since Vayosha means Uforak. And since pigeon in Aramaic means Uforak. So if both Vayosha and pigeon mean Uforak, that means that Vayosha is equal to a pigeon aben. However, the bottom Tosfos here disagrees, and Tosfos says it's a very nice pshat. A equals B and C equals B, so A equals C. But it's not true, because Vayosha means salvation, saving. Vayosha Hashem Bayoima Shrom Yad Mitzrayim. Whereas pigeon means redemption. So even though you're right, the Targum, for whatever reason, translated both salvation and redemption with the word purkan, but redemption is not the same as salvation. What kind, according to you, by Pidgin Aben, what kind of salvation is there concerning the child? Therefore, Tosfos learns, Rabbeinu Tam, the second bottom line on the Amid in Tosfos, Pirish, Shenold Sham Ben, Val Shem Shavlad Noisha Venimlat Mimei Imoy, Kirichsiv Vimlita Zachar. We have a pasuk in Yeshaya that Vimlita Zachar, the Zachar, got Himlita, it got saved. Where did it get saved from? It was a prisoner in its mother's stomach. It's Chas v'Shalom, the child could have died there. Baruch Hashem, there was a birth, a healthy child who was saved from his mother's stomach. So Losh and Yeshua, that's the salvation. Vayuregil and Lasa Suda, they used to make a Suda. So the Dugal Mervova, that's the Rabbi Chaskel Lando, the Noida Yehuda, in Yoredei at the end of Simon Kuf Ayin Ches, says that this is why some people have a minhag to make a suda the night before a bris. That suda, the night before a bris, is to commemorate the fact that the child has been saved from 7 days ago when the mother gave birth. However, the Ramah brings in Simon Reish Samachay Sifyud Beis, brings the Trumas Adeshen that says it's a different Suda. It's what we call Friday night before a bris, the Shalom Zachar. So it comes out, we have here in this Sugya, three different Pshatim in what Yeshua Ben means. Either according to Rashi, it means Pidgin Aben, or according to the Dagel Mervava, it means the Suda the night before the bris, or according to the Trumas Adeshen, it means the Shalom Zachar. So now, whether it was a bris, or a Pidgin Aben, or a Shalom Zachar, or the Suda the night before the bris, these three great Gedolim, Rav, Shmuel, and Ravasi, were coming in. They all converged on the door at the same time. The question was, who was going to go in first? And every one of these Gedolim had a problem of going in first. Why? Says the Gemara, Rav loyal kamed Shmuel. Rav couldn't go in front of Shmuel. Why? We're going to see on Amud Beis. Shmuel, as we turn to Dav Pei Amud Beis, Shmuel loyal kamed de Ravasi. Shmuel couldn't go in front of Ravasi because Shmuel from these three Gedolim was the lowest. And Rav Asi was definitely a higher gadol than Shmuel. So Shmuel couldn't go in first. Rav Asi, loyal kamei to Rav. Rav Asi couldn't go in first because Rav was his Rebbe, and he's a Talmud of Rav. So he couldn't go in first. So now they're in a dilemma. They all come to the door at the same time. None of these three could go in first. What do they do? Amri, they said, Man Nisra, who's going to stay behind? In other words, if, for example, which is going to be the thing, let's see what the Gemara says. Nisrach Shmuel. If Shmuel should stay behind, Vinesi Rav Ravasi. Let's do that. Rav and Ravasi will go in first. In other words, Rav will already speak out what the Gemara is going to say. Rav was makabel on himself never to go, as covet to Shmuel, even though he was greater than Shmuel, not to ever go in front of Shmuel in a door. Why? Because there was once, Shmuel was a doctor. And one time Rav was suffering and Shmuel gave him a medication and he didn't even let Rav know that the medication came from him. And apparently the medication aggravated him. It could be that in the end he got cured by the medication, but for a time the medication caused him to suffer. So in his suffering, Rav called out that whoever gave me that item, he should be cursed that he shouldn't have any sons. And in fact, Shmuel, we know Bante de Shmuel, they were in captivity, the daughters of Shmuel. Shmuel is known for his daughters. Shmuel, unfortunately, didn't have any sons because of the curse of Rav. Once Rav found out that it was Shmuel that had given him the medication, and Shmuel, of course, had meant it all, l'shem shemayim, to help Rav, so because of that, he accepted upon himself that for the rest of his life, if he would ever come to a door with him and Shmuel, Shmuel had to go in first. So Rav said over here, what they made up is the following. If Rav and Shmuel come to the door together, Rav has to go in first. But if Shmuel stays outside and he doesn't go in, he stays outside for a couple of minutes, so he didn't enter. Then who's left? Rav and Ravasi. So Rav goes in first because he's the Rebbe, and Ravasi goes in second, he's the Talmud. A few minutes later, Shmuel goes in. That's not considered that Rav went ahead of Shmuel. So that's what they decided to do. Amri, man nirsach. So they answered, nisrach Shmuel, let Shmuel wait outside. Vinesi Rav, and then followed by Ravasi. Ask the Gemara, vinisrach Rav, oi Ravasi, we have a different etzah. Let Rav stay outside, or let Ravasi stay outside. Now let's figure it out. If Rav stays outside, no problem. Why? You have Shmuel and Ravasi. So Ravasi is a bigger gadol than Shmuel. Ravasi goes in first, followed by Shmuel. A few minutes later, Rav comes in. Or let Ravasi wait outside, and let Rav and Shmuel go in. Rav will go in first, and Shmuel will go in second. Wait a second. We just said that Rav never went ahead of Shmuel. What kind of solution is the Gemara proposing that Rav Asi should wait outside and Rav and Shmuel should go in together? So the Gemara, what the Meforshim explain is that the Gemara and the Hava Mina thought that Rav's Kabbalah was that Shmuel should never go in third. He gave a covet to Shmuel, but he should never be last. If there's a group of three, he shouldn't be the third. But if it's just Rav and Shmuel alone, the Gemara thought that Rav could go ahead of Shmuel. That's what the Gemara answers. No, you're wrong. Rav Milsa ba'alma hu da'avid leila Shmuel. Rav didn't have to do this, but because of the Maisa Mishum, Hahu Maisa the Lacha, because of that story where he cursed him, as we explained before, Admire Rav Aleh, Rav accepted upon himself that he would never go in front of Shmuel. It wasn't that Shmuel shouldn't be last, shouldn't be third, but Rav could never go ahead of Shmuel. Therefore, the only Eitzah would be for Shmuel to wait outside, then Rav and Ravasi go in together, and Rav goes first because he's the Rebbe, and Ravasi's the Talmud. Anyway, after we got through this whole story of who went in first, Adahachi V'achi, while they were posturing, who's going to go in first and second, Asa Shunra, a cat came, Katya Liyotad Yanuka, and in front of them they saw where it bit off the hand of a little child. Nafak Ravadarsh, Rav went out and made a drasha. Chasul, a cat, Mutter Lahorga, you can kill it. V'asr l'kaimoy, and you're asr to let it live. V'ein boy mishum gezel, and if you steal it, there's no problem. V'ein boy mishum hasham heshav aveda lebailam, and there's no mitzvah of shavus avedim to the bailam. So the Gemara is going to explain it, and the Rishonim here explain what Rav is saying. First of all, Top Tosfos explains, it's not that Rav said this now because of the Maaser Shehoyah, because we're going to soon see, the Gemara is going to ask on Rav, what do you mean that you're allowed to kill a chasul, and you couldn't be Mekayim a chasul? We learned on Amud Aleph, do you remember on Amud Aleph it says, monkeys, and the bush weasels, and cats. You could have, because they help in cleaning up the house. They take care of the mice and the worms. So what's the Gemara's kasha from that Baraisa, which we learned on Amud Aleph? That was it before. Rav had this mice that happened in front of his eyes where a cat cut off the hand of a child. So he enacted a nuk zera. What's the Gemara's problem? The answer is that Rav apparently was saying that it's not because of this story that I'm enacting this. But this is something that even before the Chazal felt you shouldn't raise a cat. So on that, the Gemara is going to ask him, Abraisa, you see you're wrong. That's how Tosfos understands Nafik Rav Adarsh. Rav had darshan this already previously, these halachas. Now, the Gemara is going to go into these various halachas. So first of all, let's just do the second Tosfos, speak it out. Tosfos asks a kasha from what Resh Lakish says in Masechta Sanhedrin, Daf Tezva Beis. There it says that a lion or a leopard or a bear or a wolf or a Bartolus and a snake, that even Rabbi Elazar who holds kol akoidim lahar goy zacha, that anyone can go up to these animals and kill them, that's only if they, you know that they previously killed somebody else. But if they did not kill any human being, you're not allowed to go. So Tosfos kasha is, how could Rav here, even though he did catch, cut off a hand, but he didn't kill anybody, so based on that, on what basis did Rav want to say you could kill the cat? So Tosfos says that when shouldn't you kill them unless they have previously killed a person? That's if they're tied up with a chain. But here is speaking about a cat that was on the loose. So there Rav felt you could even kill it. Or Tosfos gives a second teretz. By these animals that we just mentioned, a lion and a leopard, people know that they're dangerous animals, and therefore they stay out of the way. So therefore, you shouldn't kill them unless they've previously killed a human being. However, by a cat, there people think it might be a safe animal, and we're soon going to see in the Gemara, only black cats are not a problem. But white cats, or a black cat that had a parent that was a white cat, there is a danger. But when you see a black cat, you don't know is it dangerous or not. So there, Rav felt that it go on the preventive measure and kill the cat before the cat does something bad to you. Let's see the Gemara further. The Kivan, the Amrit, Mutal Horgo, if you said you're allowed to kill it, Mind you su usher l'kaimoy. What are you telling me then that it's usher for you to keep it in your house? The Gemara thought that it means you can even kill a cat that belongs to someone else. If I can kill somebody else's cat that I don't even own, so obviously it's such an important thing to kill a cat that I don't even have to worry about who owns it, so for sure that you shouldn't have one yourself. The Gemara answers, no. Ma'ada tema. Mutter lahargoy. It means not that you should kill somebody else's cat, But your own cat you're allowed to kill. So I would have thought it means that mutter lahargoy, but isur leka, but there is no isur to keep it in your house. You just have a heter to kill it if you want. Kamash malon, it's not just a heter to kill it, but rather it's an isur for you to have it in your house. Amri, we can ask the following question. V'kivin d'amar d'emir mishum gezel. You said there's no problem if you steal a cat. And anything you can steal is hefker. If so, mine niusu aimboy mishum hashav aveda labayim. What's the next halacha that you said there's no indian of hashavas aveda labayim? Obviously, if it has a din of hefker, there's no gezel, there's no din of hashavas aveda to the labayim. Amar avina lo ayroi. Tosis explains, which means that you can keep the skin. Even if you found it dead already. I might have thought that when can I keep the skin only if I killed it. So I did a service to humanity by getting rid of this cat. So then I can keep the skin. Kamash one, even if you found it dead, you can skin it and keep the skin for yourself. Mesve, I'll ask you a question. You're telling, and here's the Gemara's Kasher from the Braisa, we learned that Amid Aleph. Rav Shimon ben Elazar Amar Megadlin Klavim Kaifim. You're allowed to raise these miniature dogs or these hunting dogs. V'chasulin and cats, v'koifin and monkeys, v'chuldesnoyim and the bush weasels. V'mneisha asulinaka, because they clean up mice and worms as a bias in the house. So here you see you're allowed to raise a cat, so what are you telling me that Rav Asi says, what are you telling me that Rav Paskin that you have to kill a cat? Loikasha, that's not kshrer. Ha-ba-uchma, that's speaking about a black cat, that's not dangerous. Ha-ba-chiyura, white cat, is dangerous. Ask the Gemara, v'amaisa de Rav uchma havet, a cat in Rav's case, in fact, was black. So the Gemara answers, hasam uchma bar chiyura havet. There it was, a black cat, the son of a white one. That's when it's a problem. When it's a black, the son of a white one, it hasn't it the genes from the white one. That was the case of Rav. That's why he said to kill it. I, the Gemara says that's not true. Vomit boy a boy le Ravina. Ravina had this question. The boy Ravina, uchma bar chiyura mau. What's the din with a black one, the son of a white one? Do I say it follows its mother's footsteps and it's dangerous and you have to kill it or not? So it's not so clear that it's a problem. So how do you know that in the case of Rav that he would say it's usher in such a case? We have a shaila in that. So you get more answers. Ki kama boile Ravina, when did Ravina have a shaila? Be'uchma bar chiyura bar uchma. When it was black, the son of a white, and the grandmother was black. That's a question. Do you go after the mother? Do you go after the grandmother? But Maisa de Rav, where Rav said to kill the cat, is Be'uchma bar chiyura bar chiyura hava. It was black, the son of a white, the son of a white. The mother and the grandmother were white. That's for sure dangerous. That Rav said to kill. Now the Gemara makes three acronyms. The first one is a famous acronym, which is called Chabad. Chabad, Bich, and Bach, and Simen. Now this Chabad does not refer to Lubavitch, but this Chabad refers to the second letter of the first name of the person. We're going to have all the sons of Papa. So let's take the first example. Omer Rabbi Achobar Papa, Mishum Rabbi Abba bar Papa, Mishum Rabbi Ado bar Papa. So if you take the second letter of the first name, you have Acha, the second letter is Ches. You have Abba, the second letter is a Beis. You have Ado, the second letter is a Dalet. That's Chabad. So that's the first group, Va'amri Law, and some say no, it was different. Amr Rab Abba bar Papa, Mishum Rab Chia bar Papa, Mishum Rabbi Acha bar Papa. And here the second letter of each first name is Beis Yud Ches. That's the second simon of Bich. The Amri law, and the third way that it went was Amr Rab Abba bar Papa, Mishum Rab Acha bar Papa, Mishum Rab Chanina bar Papa. So here you have the second letter of the first name is Beis, and then a Ches, and then a Nun. So whoever said it, this is what they said. Masri in Alachichluch b'Shabbos. If somebody has boils on his body on Shabbos and they're scratching, Chichluch is scratching their boils, you're allowed to be Masriin. What does Masriin mean? Amachloikis Rashi and Tosis. Rashi says it means Yutchina, davening b'tzibur, with a shofar. Tosis disagrees because Tosis says you don't blow a shofar on Shabbos.
Even on Rosh Hashanah, we don't blow a shofar. You don't blow a shofar on Shabbos. So Taisa says it means Masriyan, we shout out Baneinu, with the tefillah of Aneinu, even though it's Shabbos, if a person has scratching from boils. And now he said a second halacha, this group, Videlas Haninalas, if a person's door got shut, his Hatzlocha opportunity shut in his face, Loi B'meir Tipasach. Pasach. This will not open quickly. Rashi says the nafkamin is that if you want the door of opportunity of Hatzlacha to open, you have to daven very hard. Because once it's shut in your face, it's going to be very hard to open it. And the Gemara is going to explain all of these dinim in a few lines. Valakeach b'ayis b'etzrol, a person takes property in etzrol, kaisnul of oinu, you can write a contract, a filah b'shabbos, even on Shabbos. And now we're going to explain each of these halachas, but first we're going to ask a kasha. Meisve, vishar, perroni, samasarakshu, voice, ala tzibur, other punishments that come, that gather together and come on the tzibur. Kugoyin, chichuch, boils, chagav, locusts, vuv, flies, tzira, a wasp, vyitush, a mosquitoes, vishiluch, nechashim, akrabim. And when snakes and scorpions are sent, loy hayo masri, and if that happens on Shabbos, they didn't make a trua. Rashi and Tosfos each according to their pshat. Elatzoyakin, by a yochid, each yochid by himself would scream out. But what do we see? You told me that masrin al chichuch on scratches from boils. We shout out betzibur with a shofar or a neinu, and here we see you don't do it only tzoyakim. Like Asha, that's not shver. Kambalach, kambiyavish. One is speaking about a wet boil, which is not so dangerous. Here is speaking about a dry boil, that's more dangerous. A dry one is masriyan, with a shofar, with a neinu. A wet one is only tzayakin. Da'amar, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, shchin, shevei HaKadosh Baruch Hu on Mitzrayim. The shchin, the boils that Hashem brought on Mitzrayim, lachmi b'chutz, they were wet on the outside, v'yavish b'fnim, and they were dry on the inside. And they were very dangerous because they were dry on the inside. Shenemar, v'yihi shchin avabuos, they were blistering boils. What does that mean? Pareach, it was flowering bottom of a behema, that from the dry inside came out blisters of wet boils from the outside. Now we come to the second halacha. Videl is an analysis of Tifaseach, a door of opportunity that gets closed, doesn't open up quickly, unless you daven very hard. Mayi, what's an example of that? Marzutra, Mar Smicha. And there are many cases in the Gemara where somebody was supposed to get smicha, and then lo yistaya milsa, for one reason or another, they couldn't get the people who give the smicha together, and the person was not able to get smicha. Once that opportunity was closed, it was very difficult in the rest of his life to obtain smicha. Rav Ashi says, call a Marian loy, whoever Hashem does bad to, loy b'mer mativ loy, they don't do quickly good to. And it's interesting how the Marsha learns this Gemara. The Marsha says this is based on a Tanchuma in Parshas Vayikra, Perek Gimel, where the Tanchuma says, "Kol haroidev achar ashrara, he boirachas mimenu. Whoever runs after a position, it runs away from him." Now, says the Marsha, that we find in Chazal that they used to run away from shrara. A person who marian loy, if a person looks at it as a tragedy, oy vey, I had a position, I didn't get it, so they're not, in other words, if you got the position, then you look at it as something good. If you don't get the position, you look at it as a tragedy. If that's your viewpoint of shrara, Hashem is not going to make it good for you quickly. If you don't look at it as a tragedy, but you look at it as an opportunity to serve Klal Yisrael, you'll get it quickly. What's interesting is that the Lashon here is called Aroidev Achar Ashrara, He Boy Rachas Mimenu. In the world, there's an expression called Habareich Achar HaKovid, HaKovid Bareich Mimenu, and called Habareich Min HaKovid, HaKovid Right of Acharav. So I'm not sure where that Chazal is from. There is a Gemara in Erevin, Yud Gimel Amud Beis, where the Gemara says, "Kol amachzer ala gedula, gedula barachs menu." If you look for gedula, then gedula will run away from you. V'chol abareich mina gedula, gedula machzeres achrov. If you run away from gedula, gedula will follow you, will come after you. But the words that the world uses as an expression, "Kol abareidev achra kavod." Here we have the word in the Tanchuma Shrara. In the Erevin, we have the word Gedula. The way that people use this expression is called a rite of achra kovet, akovet barechemenu. I'm not sure if there is, in fact, such a chazal. If anybody knows where that chazal is, if you could please email me at grossman@ou.org, I would be appreciative. Continues the Gemara. Ask the Gemara, v'loihi, are you saying... No, we're back to Rav Achami Difti, Omar Lo'oi Lomei Mativin Lo'oi. Rav Achami Difti says, not Lo'oi B'meheira Mativin Lo'oi, but rather Lo'oi Lomei Mativin Lo'oi. Once you lost the chance, you'll never get it back again. Says the Gemara of Elohi, he's not correct. Rav Achami Difti Milsa D'Nafshehu Domer. He was relating a personal experience. Because the Gemara tells us, that as Rashi brings down, the Gemara in Bava Basra, Daf Yud Beis Amud Beis, in the city of Mechasya, they wanted to appoint Rav Achami Difti as the Rosh Yeshiva, but then who came to town? Mar Rav Ashi. And the people saw that Mar Rav Ashi was a bigger Talmud Chacham than Rav Achami Difti. So they made Mar Rav Ashi the Rosh Yeshiva. So the Gemara says, when Rav Achami Difti said that it never comes back, that's only because he was relating his own story that happened to him. But that doesn't mean it's a rule in life. Tosfos asked an interesting question here. In the Divrei HaMaskil, Lo'olam Eimativin Lo'i, asked Tosfos that Rav Achami Difti in the Gemara in Bava Basra, Yud Beis Amud Beis, says himself, Lo'i B'meheira Mativin Lo'i. Here he says, Lo'olam Eimativin Lo'i. There he himself says, Lo'i B'meheira. Tyson's answers, Loi b'meheira was when Mar Rav Ashi first got the position. So Rav Achami Difti waited around. He thought maybe in a short while it'll be temporary and he'll get the position back. When Rav Achami Difti saw that years and years are going by and Mar Rav Ashi is still the Rosh Yeshiva and Rav Achami Difti never got the position, so here in the Gemara and Bava Kama, Rav Achami Difti says, no, I changed my mind. It's not just Loi b'meheira. But once the opportunity is slammed shut, you're never going to get it. The Gemara says, even though he said it, that was based on personal life experience. But the fact is that through a lot of davening, a person could get the opportunity back. Continues the Gemara. A person who buys a house in Eretz Yisrael, you're allowed to write a contract of even on Shabbos. Ask the Gemara, B'Shabbos Salkadatach? You're allowed to write. Writing is one of the Lamates of his Malachas. You're only allowed to be Mechal Shabbos for Pekuach Nefesh. You're allowed to, just because of he's buying a house in Eretz Yisrael, you could do an Av Malacha? Ella could Amar Rav Hasim. Like we find Rav says in the Gemara in Shabbos. Daf Kuf Chav Tesamet Aleph. In Nageya that Gemara, what did Rava say? Oimer l'nach revoisa, that you could tell a goy, hachanami, in our Gemara, oimer l'nach revoisa, it means that you're allowed to tell a goy, write the contract. Va'af al gav damir l'nach rishvasi, even though telling a goy to write on Shabbos, or hinting it to a goy, but you're over on an issa derabbanan, because of the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, settling Eretz Yisrael, and removing from Eretz Yisrael the oiv de avoid zora to live in Eretz Yisrael, the Chachamim did not stick with their gezerah. There's a very fundamental machlokes rishonim here. Tosfos says that this heter of amira l'nachru l'tzorich mitzvah is only the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Tosfos wants to bring a riot. Even for a mitzvah like bris milah, we would not allow a goy to do a shvus from a kaim de mitzvah bris milah. The Bahag disagrees, and the Baal HaHalachas Gedolah says that Shvus is mutter for Bris Milah, and perhaps even other mitzvahs you could be over on a Derabbanan in order to do the mitzvah. But our Tosfos here, Divrei HaMaskil, Ayim L'Nach Reviyasa, holds the only mitzvah that you could be over on a Shvus is for the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Concludes the Gemara, Amar of Shmuel Bar Nachmani, Amar of Yonison, Halakeach Ir Be'eretz Yisrael, somebody who buys a city in Eretz Yisrael, Kaifanai Say Bezdin forces him, Likach La Derech Me'arba Ruchai Seah, he has to take from all four sides of the city, he has to have an entranceway into the city. That means he has to buy the ground that leads into the city so that people will be able to get into the city from all four sides. Why? Mishum Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, because by having a city that you're able to enter from all four sides, this contributes towards the settlement of Eretz Yisrael. And we saw from our Gemara how chashuv the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael is, that you can even be over on Eishet Rabbanan to do that mitzvah.